Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
What's up, movie lovers? It's your girl Rossi, and I'm back with another awesome review. I have with me today Kristen Goff. You guys know her. She's a friend of the channel. She's been here before. Kristen is, when Kristen first came on the show, remember guys, I interviewed her because she was a co-star in a film with Eric Roberts, and we'll talk more about that. And Kristen has so much stuff going on, but I appreciate her taking time out of her day to come and sit with me and do another review. And this time, we are going to review Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. So, let's get into it, guys.
What's up, Lily? Hi. Hello, everyone.
How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you?
I'm doing really, really good.
That's great.
Kristen, the name of the movie with Eric Roberts.
Yes, that was Purse.
Purse, that's right. That was Purse. I'm like, goodness. She has so much going on. You guys can go back. It's on Rossi Talks channel. You can go back and watch that review. You can also see the movie online. I watched it on YouTube, and you can rent it on YouTube or you can buy it. A really good movie. It's a horror film. Kristen, you were, what, a few years younger? How old were you when you did that film?
I was 16 when I did one of Eric Roberts.
Okay.
I just turned 16. It was October. My birthday's in July. So that was as soon as I did it.
Okay. Kristen has a lot going on right now. She has other films that, like, you're working on other films. We'll get to that right now because I want her to be able to talk about that. And then we'll talk what we loved about Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. What's going on with you, though?
What's going on with me right
now?
Yeah,
what's new? What's new with you, like work-wise, acting-wise? You're in magazines. Tell us a little bit about that.
So, especially in November, I had a lot of magazine people reach out to me. So that's why in November, I had like probably 5 to 10 magazines. Yes.
Congrats.
It was so cool. Thank you.
Did you do those? I mean, are you on those covers? Are you in those magazines?
I had those companies reach out to me, and they gave me an offer for it just for free, completely free.
Right.
And they're like, hey, we want to put you on this magazine. We've heard about your work. And I got on the cover. I got on articles. And it just keeps going.
Right. You also won an award. Didn't you recently win an award?
Yes.
Tell us about that.
I won the Roman International Awards and two New Jersey Film Festival Awards.
Wow.
I know. It's crazy.
Are you working on something right now, a film right now, or have you worked, What's going on with you film-wise?
I am working on a film with the same director, with Purse, and also Eric Roberts is going to be in this one.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yes.
Girl, that's awesome.
Thank you. I thought it was so cool. I was like, yes, I'm reuniting with Eric Roberts.
Like, how did that come about? Okay, so before you say that, just like let you guys know about this girl. This young lady here reached out on her social media just to directors, you know, sending her work, sending her resume, all of that. And Leighton Whitmire reached out to her, and that's how she got on Purse. So she's back with that same director on a new film with Eric Roberts again. And she did this herself, so which is amazing. I want to let you guys know that she did this herself. But anyways, about the film, if you can say anything about it, you could talk about it. Who you are in that film, like, tell us a little bit about it.
Oh, yes, I would love to.
We laugh a lot, too. I don't know what it is with us. When we get together, we just instantly look at each other and just start laughing.
We're just like,
life is good. Life is good. Go ahead.
So when I was filming Purse of Eric Roberts, I will say it was an amazing experience and one of the best experiences I ever had, especially at the premiere. That premiere was so much fun.
Awesome.
Like, it was my very first feature film premiere. And it was just the best. It was amazing. I also met my talent agent there. So you can do a lot with premieres. You can definitely connect with people there.
Okay.
Meet your future agent there. You never know.
Okay.
Yes, it's great.
So the new film that you have with Leighton, did she reach out to you again? Or was this something like, did she already have you written into that script?
She called me again. She called me. She reached out to me, and she had me written in the script.
Awesome.
And it was a surprise. And I was like, oh, yeah, of course I'll work again. I would love to.
Right.
Yes.
Have you start filming, or when will you start filming?
I will start filming, I think, this one in May. Sometime May, maybe between March. Sometime like late March, May. But yeah, it's going to be really cool. A lot
Absolutely.
Of fun. And it also has, yes, I'm sorry I interrupted.
No, go ahead, please. Go ahead.
And it also has Daniel Baldwin and Jack McVoy in this film. So I got two.
Really?
Yes.
Girl, when the film is done, come back and let's interview and let's talk about the film. Absolutely. That is.
Yes.
That is so awesome. Congratulations. How exciting.
Thank you. It's
do you
very
have other work lined up? Like, do you have other films that you've been auditioning for that's a possibility?
Yes, I sure do.
Okay.
So I've been going on like I've been doing a lot of auditions lately. Like, I've been auditioning for a lot of open calls, agent calls. But there is a lot of commercial star possibility.
Okay.
There is a series that's a possibility, and a feature film and movie that's a possibility.
That's like, wow.
Yes.
How do you feel about that? Are you excited? Are you overwhelmed? Like, how does that feel?
I am very, very excited. I just can't wait.
Right.
Yeah.
So basically, Kristen has a lot going on. You guys, when the films come out and release, we'll have Kristen back on to talk about her films, series, whatever's going on, we'll have Kristen back on. But congratulations to you. We're all rooting for you. We watch you on your TikTok, on all your social media. We at Movie Lovers and Rossi Talks definitely know what you're doing, and it's very inspiring, especially to a lot of young actors that are coming up. You can do this, like, you know, Kristen and I talked about before. You can do this. If this is something that you're looking to get in as a young actor or actress, this is possible. If you have social media and your parents are with you and guiding you, it's possible. And Kristen is a good example of that. She has great parents, and obviously they have done a great job with guiding her, you know, in this career and world we call entertainment, okay, which is a lot for someone very young, but she's doing great. So that being said, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yes.
First impression.
My first impression was probably like the cool, I love the animation art in it.
Right.
I love all the colors.
Right.
That was probably my first impression, and especially Spider-Man in the Spider-Man-verse. That right. was my very first impression, and I'm a huge fan of Miles Morales, so
okay.
when I first got on there, I was like, ooh, I'm excited to see what's going to happen here.
Let's see. So the first time I seen Miles Morales, for me, being a video game player, it was the new Spider-Man that was recently released, okay? So I'm playing the game, and I didn't know, I heard of Miles Morales, but I didn't know. So I'm playing a game, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's great. I love the different Spider-Mans that's in the Spider-Man game. The game was great, by the way. You guys should play it. But it led me to go back and say, all right, let me go check out these movies that I missed. I grew up watching Spider-Man as a kid, the live-action Spider-Man as a kid, so love Spider-Man. And of course, you know, my husband's a big comic book fan, so we love Spider-Man. But this is new for us because in our generation, it was just different. So I go back and I want to check out, who's this Miles Morales? Let me check out the Spider-Man, the animation. So I check out the, silly me checks out the second one, which is the one we're reviewing now, Across the Spider-Verse. I go back and watch the original Into the Spider-Verse, and you have to do that, guys. I mean, I'm sure you all know, but please watch the first one first, then watch the second one, because when you get into the second one, you have to go back and watch the first one, because there are things that you that happens that you don't know why that happened. And now, after watching them, I'm like, okay, I get it. And I loved both of them. But with this one, the storyline goes, Miles Morales returns for the next chapter of the Oscar-winning Spider-Verse saga, an epic adventure that will transport Brooklyn's full-time friendly neighborhood Spider-Man across the multiverse to join forces with Gwen Stacy and a new team of spider people to face off with a villain more powerful than anything they've ever encountered. So with that, let's talk about the actors really quick. So we have Shameik Moore. He plays Miles Morales. He voices Miles Morales. Haley Steinfeld, she voices Gwen. And we have Brian Tyree Henry, who is Jeff Morales. And Luna Lauren Velez plays Rio Morales. Okay, so those are the main characters in the film, with a host of other talented actors in this film. So the film starts off, you know, Gwen is in a band. She's really depressed because her best friend, Peter Parker, dies. All right. So she's really depressed. She leaves the band, and we'll skip to, and this is going to be a spoiler free review, guys. So I'm not going to tell you the ending of it. And we're just going to talk around it. What did you think about the fact that Gwen is depressed because she lost her best friend, Peter, and her dad, who is a police officer, thinks that Spider-Woman, because Gwen is Spider-Woman, thinks that she killed Spider-Man, basically.
What really made me think of that is especially Peter Parker being part of that universe, and her saying her best friend Peter Parker died. Right. That is just insane to me. That is something that's so crazy, because like it's just like a future universe, but especially like what happened to Peter. That shocked me. When I found out Peter Parker died, I was like, no.
Right?
No.
Yes, I did that too, because Spider-Man doesn't die.
Yeah.
Not exactly. From the world I come from, Spider-Man doesn't die. So when he dies, I'm trying to figure all this out, because guys, as you know, if you didn't see the film, there are so many Spider-Men. There are so many of them, and they all get bit the same way that Peter Parker was bit, okay, by a spider, okay, and they're infected. And then they become Spider-Man. So you have many different types of Spider-Man in this film. I do want to say that our protagonist in this film, we have the Spot, okay? And then we have Miguel O'Hara. And Miguel is Spider-Man. He's Spider-Man, what is it? Spider-Man 2099. Anyways, Miguel is he's not so much of a villain, but he has to keep the Spider-Verse together. He has to make sure that things don't go crazy, because if it does, it could, they could lose their Spider-Verse. Yeah. So he's not so much a bad guy, but he's the gatekeeper. He has to make sure things stay together. And then you have the Spot, who actually was a scientist, and he is angry at Miles Morales in particular, because he feels like he has envious and hatred towards Miles, and he's blaming him for turning him into a mutant and actively seeking to kill Miles. So that's what's going on with this one. And the Spot becomes more powerful than Miles Morales thought. So those are your villains in that one. But like I said, Miguel is not so much a villain. He has to keep the Spider-Verse together. Gwen coming back in the confrontation that she has with her dad, because her dad doesn't know at this point that Gwen is Spider-Woman. And Gwen has the same story. She's been bit as well. And so she thinks she's the first Spider-Woman. What did you think about that scene when her dad, well, she confesses to her dad because she gets caught.
Yeah.
There's this epic battle that it's a bird or it's a falcon, and it's out of, let me get that really quick. So the first battle that they have is a battle with, it's a painting that was in a Leonardo da Vinci painting that ended up coming to life. And so it goes into Gwen's universe. And so that's your first opening scene battle with Gwen as Spider-Woman fighting this Da Vinci painting that's attacking the world at that point. What did you think about that scene?
I thought that was so crazy. That like blew my mind when I saw that scene. I was like, wow, how did a Leonardo da Vinci painting become a like kind of villain in the Spider-Verse?
Right.
I was like, there's a lot of Easter eggs in it. There's a lot.
So many Easter eggs. And it's actually a vulture. Okay, so it's a vulture, and it's from one of the drawings of Leonardo da Vinci. Okay, so it was a vulture that came to life. Okay, and it's a really funny battle, and that's one thing about this film is the comedy in the film is hilarious, because there's like she said, little Easter eggs. And when you're watching a film, I've never sat and watched an animation where it was just so funny. It was, the film is written quite well, very funny, but they have that opening battle. And you have Gwen that ends up battling this vulture, and you then have from the Spider-Verse, you then meet Miguel, and you meet Hobie, and you meet, I think her name is Drew, all right? And they all come to help Spider-Woman with this vulture. And as this is going down, they help her, but she's standing there, and her and her dad aren't seeing eye to eye, okay? That scene there where they have her dad encased, and she's standing there looking at her dad, and she knows that there's nothing left that she can do in that universe. And so she wants to go with, you know, Miguel and Drew and Hobie to the Spider-Verse, but Miguel doesn't want her to go. And when they see what happens after she confesses to her dad that she is what, Spider-Woman, there's nothing left for her. She doesn't feel like there's anything left for her there in her world. So, you know, Drew convinces Miguel, let's take her back with us. And that's how she becomes a part of the Spider-Verse with Miguel and the rest of the Spider-Men, Spider people, because there's so many of them.
Yes.
What'd you think about that, though? I mean, when you met Hobie, his entrance into the film, how funny were the other ones?
I loved it. Like, it was so funny. I loved the comedy. Yes. And I absolutely loved it. It was so cute. It has to be probably one of my favorite animated movies.
Right. Absolutely. I have to say that. Definitely good. Like I was telling Kristen, I'm just shocked that it took me this long to see it. I always wanted to see it, but, you know, time goes by, and before you know it, it's 5 years later and there's a new one and you're like, oh, wow. And then you have a game and you play the game, like I said, and you're like, I need to visit.
Oh, yeah.
I need to visit this film. So anyways, guys, so after that happens, we go to present day. We catch up with Miles Morales. You know, he's at that the talented school that he goes to for really smart kids in Brooklyn, I believe the school is. And his parents doesn't know that he is Spider-Man. So you get to see Miles Morales tell his story on how he got bit again, because I love how in the film, each spider person that appears, they tell their story again, which is really, really funny. And they all have the same story. But you get to see Miles Morales out in the world fighting crime. He's become very popular with everyone because, like we said, in the first one, remember, Peter Parker, he dies. Okay, so Miles Morales is the Spider-Man in that universe. So what do you think about him being so popular? And he's in from the first film, he's now, you know, has more abilities and he's more in control of who he is. He's better at it. He's more confident than he was in the first film, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. What do you think about that?
I felt like it was really cool. I loved how like the generations passed down.
Yes.
And like each Spider-Man generation, they get stronger. Right. Like from like even Tobey Maguire to Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man.
Right.
They just kept getting stronger and stronger. And the thing is, I didn't know that Miles Morales was a film until the game came out neither.
Okay. So the video game will inspire you to go and watch the film. So I'm with you on that. The game was that good to where you had to go and say, let me see what the film is about. Really quick, when I was talking about Miguel, so Miguel was Spider-Man 299. And a little bit more about Miguel. So Miguel O'Hara isn't a full-fledged villain. From Miguel's perspective, protecting the multiverse at all costs is his most logical duty, akin to that of Doctor Strange in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, okay? So he has to keep it together. And along with the Miles Morales variant, I don't want to tell you that because I don't want you to know who Miles becomes, but that's just a little bit more about Miguel, okay? So although he's after Peter, or not Peter, although he's after Miles Morales, he's only after him because remember, guys, if you don't know, Miles was not supposed to become a Spider-Man. That was an accident.
Yes.
Okay. That the since Earth 1610's Miles Morales wasn't supposed to become Spider-Man and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Miguel may resent him for causing Earth 42 Peter Parker to miss on his powers. Similarly to how Miguel's experiment worked while his first test subject died. And remember, Miguel's family died.
Yeah.
Okay. And he too tries to change things and it doesn't work out for him. So because he tried to change things to kind of keep his family or bring his family back, whatever he did, it changed the Spider-Verse. So he knows that. And that's why he doesn't, that's why he's after and trying to stop Miles Morales, because it was a mistake. He wasn't supposed to be bit, but Miles doesn't know that. Gwen knows that. The other Spider-Men know that, but Miles doesn't know that he was accidentally bit. What do you think about when you found out that it was a mistake? It was for 42.
I thought that was really, like, I was kind of like mind blown, but at the same time, I kind of knew it would happen because of the other Spider-Mans, like Tobey Maguire, Andrew Garfield, Spider-Man, Tom Holland, Spider-Man.
Right.
And now Miles Morales is the next one.
Right.
That was really interesting. That was very interesting.
Me being a new fan of this, you know, I took a lot of notes because I didn't want to get anything wrong and I wanted to make sure that I spoke about things right. So if I trip up, I'm trying to, there's so much to learn about the Spider-Verse, okay?
Yes.
So, yes. So another thing I wanted to mention that is that Earth 1610, Miguel, because remember I told you Gwen wanted to join them. He reluctantly grants Gwen membership into the Spider Society. Okay, that's what it's called, the Spider Society. And it was allowing her to escape with him and Jess. And so Jess is the one lady on I think she's a motorcycle. And Jess, and I thought it was Drew, but Jess. In Brooklyn, on Earth 1610, 16 months after the Alchemax Collider's explosion, Miles Morales encounters the spot. an Alchemax scientist whose body was infused with portals during the explosion. So that's a little bit more about how Miles came into contact with the spot, who was a scientist at first. And remember, he's very upset, and he's our villain that they did not know would become so powerful in Across the Spider-Verse. So that's just a little bit about them. But let's talk about the party. Miles Morales, there's this huge party that Miles' mom and dad, that Miles' mother is having for her husband and Miles' dad, because his dad was going to become a captain.
Yeah.
And so they have this awesome party rooftop, and, you know, they're always trying to spend time with Miles, and he's always gone, them not knowing that he's Spider-Man, but it's always something. He's always not there. They try to call him. It's always something. So he's supposed to be there for his dad's party for him becoming captain. And, you know, I really was sad that they were doing the toast, and they're trying to, you know, they're trying to stall, because they're trying to give Miles time to get there so that he could be there with his dad. Yeah. And they're showing Miles on his way there. And I love that scene, because you have Miles out solving crime, picking up the cake. On the way out from picking up the cake, he sees another crime. He's being Spider-Man. Anyways, he shows up late to this gathering, but he shows up anyways. He shows them the cake. The cake is all just all over the place. And so they ground him. They ground him for a month. And then they ground him for 2 months, and then 3 months. So he goes to his room. He's pretty depressed because he's Spider-Man. How can you ground Spider-Man? He goes in his room, and Gwen shows up.
Wow.
She shows up again in his bedroom. He's pretty excited, because if you look at the first one, remember, Miles has the biggest crush on Gwen. He absolutely adores her. And if you watch the first one, it's kind of comedy how her hair ends up the way that it ends up.
Yes.
Remember, that was so funny.
That was awesome.
I love that scene. That was really funny. And also how Gwen just happens to be at that that school that Miles was going to for kids that are just super smart. It wasn't by accident, you know, she was there for a reason. So that was in the first one. But anyway, she shows up, and Miles is telling her basically, you know, I'm grounded, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, can Spider-Man come out? And he kind of looks at her and kind of thinks about it. He knows he's going to be in big trouble if they come in that room and see that he's gone. But they do. Of course, he leaves with her, and they're flying around the city. They're flying around the city, you know, they're catching, you know, car thieves, or, you know, people that are thieves that are grabbing people's purses, and they end up on this huge building in New York City. And I love the scene where they're upside down. What did you think about that scene?
Oh, I love that scene. That was so cute. Right? I love that.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Yes.
Right. The scene was great. And just their conversation that they were having. And, you know, you have Miles that's trying to, you know, he wants to touch her hand. And then she makes a statement basically saying that in every, you know, universe, that when you know, one of them gets close to each other, something happens. Mm-hmm. And remember, after Gwen loses her best friend, she doesn't want to become close to anyone else. Although she really adores Miles, she doesn't want to be close to anyone. And that leads me to a pivotal scene where Miles is at the Spider Society. And remember, Miguel is explaining to him about what's called canon events.
Yeah.
And so you have all the other Spider-Men around with them. And Miguel is explaining to Miles, you know, and this is the canon event is this, guys. It's events, canon events are events that have happened, must or will happen in most universes and form the nodes of the web of life and destiny, which is supposedly the binding force of various spider people and their lives. So he's explaining to them that each one of them have lost someone in their life, and they have to lose someone, and you can't intervene. What do you think about the fact that they can't intervene, and explain to them, to the audience, why they can't intervene, why they're not supposed to?
So why they can't intervene is like, so I was really interested with this Senate that there was always Peter Parker and MJ
right.
in every single like Spider-Man generation. But I feel like the way they can't intervene is like kind of like miraculous. Like they can't tell who they actually are.
Right.
Like they can't tell that they're Spider-Man, that they're the hero of the city.
Right.
But yeah, kind of like that, pretty much just not telling the public who they are,
right.
like their real name is.
Right.
Just staying Spider-Man and what was that girl's name again?
Gwen?
Gwen, yeah.
Gwen, Spider-Woman?
Yes.
who she thinks she's the only one, but she's not,
yes.
you know? So the one more thing, just really quick. Let me get her name. So we have Issa Rae. When I said called her Drew, she's Drew or Jess, but that's who Issa Rae does the voice of Drew or Jess. Okay, and when Drew shows up or Jess, she's pregnant Spider-Man because she's the mom Spider-Man. She's mother Spider-Man. That's why she's pregnant in that. And when Gwen first meets them and meets her. Gwen just absolutely just becomes attached to her and just adores and loves what she says. And it's like, can I be your daughter? Basically, can I be with you? Okay. So that's Drew or Jess, the other spider person that is a real big part of across the Spider-Verse. Okay. But as you know, Miguel is telling Miles about this canon event. They all have lost someone. Like I said, Drew went through it. Punk Spider-Man went through it. Hobie went through it. And obviously we know Miguel's story because he lost his family. So Miles finds out in his case, fate determines that his father, Jefferson Davis, will die while saving a child as the hero fights the spot. It's a future Miles. Wants to stop at any cost, which puts him at odds with the Spider Society. By altering canon events, Miles risks erasing an entire timeline. So that's huge. Like, that's why you can't intervene in fate. And when Gwen was helping Miles and saved another captain when they were fighting the spot and when the spot was, you know, had them basically locked up and was so much more powerful than them, that wasn't supposed to happen. And, you know, Miles thought that Gwen was there to help him, but she wasn't there to help him. She was actually trying to help the Spider Society and trying to help them, making sure that Miles doesn't change the events. And he did. And he did change those events because those people were supposed to die. Those things were supposed to happen. So I love that. And I love how they explain that because me being a first viewer of this Spider-Man, Miles Morales, I didn't know about the Spider Society. I didn't know about the canon event. So a light bulb went off like, oh, okay. Now I get it. Now I understand. There is so much to these films. But I love the, like she said, there's a lot of Easter eggs in this film. And they also show so many different Spider-Men, like Hobie, who is, I guess he'd be like a Nacho Libre type of Spider-Man. He's really funny.
Yeah.
You have him. You have Punk Rock Spider-Man, you know, who has dreads. And he's super hilarious. And then from the first one, you have the Spider-Man from the 1930s or whatnot. And so he's in all black and white. And then you have your Lego Spider-Man, which I thought was funny when they had.
I thought that was so funny.
Talk about that scene. I was like, I had to check really quick. I had to check to make sure. Did the Legos just come on? Am I watching the wrong I wasn't expecting that. Tell them about that scene.
Miles Morales, the Lego movie.
Right. It was hilarious. I wasn't expecting that. Also, I want to mention about, remember in the first one, Miles' uncle died. And I want to mention that, you know, and this one, you know, there's a certain scene with Miles' uncle who died. Okay. Yeah. And remember, Aaron Davis, who was Miles' uncle, he was the ultimate Marvel incarnation of Prowler. And I didn't know that one too. That's why I had to go back and watch the first one as well, because when I saw that in the second one, I had to go and watch the first one so I can understand this. And he's the brother of Miles's dad. Obviously, it's his uncle. And remember, he died in the first. He died in Into the Spider-Verse. But I had to go back because he makes a special appearance in this one as well. So I wanted to bring that up. Also, let's see. Any points you want to make? Anything that you found fascinating about the movie that you want to bring up?
What I found that was really funny when, like, the Lego guy came in with Spider-Man, it was like all the universes of Spider-Man, even from the 1930s, like, came together. Like, that was so neat, but also funny, especially the Lego Spider-Man.
Girl, I'm telling you, I'm not lying. I was lost. I mean, it's like I looked away and looked back, and it was Lego Spider-Man. And then it was the Lego, the Lego Peter Parker that's like in the newsroom. And I'm like, what the hell? But then I realized it's they're all just Spider-Mans from, like she said, from the 60s, the 30s, the 70s Spider-Man makes an appearance, which is really, really funny because when they put them together, there's this comedy that goes back and forth. I wanted to mention, so Gwen, because I wanted to find out what universe, you know, what Earth did they all come from? Gwen is from Earth 65, Gwen Stacy. And she's the famous wall crawler on Earth 65, an alternative universe where she's bitten by the infamous irradiated Arachnid and dubbed Spider-Woman or Spider-Gwen. Okay, so that's where Gwen came from, because I wanted to know a little bit about him. So forgive me with my notes, but I wanted to make sure everything is good. Also, Miles Morales, of course, is Earth 1610. Okay, so remember, the bite was supposed to be for Earth 42, but it ended up biting him 1610. So that's where Miles is. That's where he's from, Earth 1610. Okay, and a little bit about him being Spider-Man. So Miles Morales was straight out of Earth 1610, also known as the Ultimates universe, an alternate reality where Peter Parker dies and Miles takes on the mantle of Spider-Man. He became Spider-Man at an even earlier age than Peter Parker, starting at 13. So remember, in the first film, Miles was 13 when he became Spider-Man. And also, if you remember, Peter was his mentor. He tried to mentor Miles. And in the first one, remember, Miles wants to go back to their universe, the Spider Society, but they didn't allow him to because he didn't understand his abilities. He wasn't ready yet. Okay, so that's just part of the first one. But that's where Peter was from, or I'm sorry, Miles was from. So a little bit about them in the backstory. Like I said, please go back and watch the first one if you haven't, because then everything will all come together. Okay. Yes. I also want to speak about the fact that I love when everything goes down and when Gwen and Miles messed up when they were talking to Miguel, and Miles is telling Miguel before Miguel tells him about the canon events, he's telling them, like, what are you guys upset about? What are you mad about? I saved these people. I saved this captain. Well, Gwen no longer had access to the Spider Society after the events that led them to intervene in a destiny that was supposed to happen for a police captain when they were fighting the Spot, okay, at that lab. Anyways, so Gwen has nowhere to go. She comes back, and I love the scene where she comes back to her home, And it's been probably 3 months since she's last seen her dad, okay? She comes back, she sneaks in, she sees her dad sleep on the couch. She tries to sneak out of the apartment via the window, and her dad wakes up. And he wakes up and, you know, he tells her to stay. They end up talking, and she basically tells him, you know, I didn't kill Peter. He was my best friend. I adored Peter, you know. And she also lets her dad know, like, comparing their careers, like, you're out there fighting crime. So am I. Let me have that badge. Let me do that. And so her dad let her know that he was no longer on the force. He wasn't doing that anymore because she meant more to him than life itself. And her hearing that, you see her eyes open up and she's so happy. She, you know, whips out her spider, you know, web and brings him closer to her. They hug. And you can tell she's been wanting that and needing that for a long time, because living with her dad and her dad at the time, not knowing she was Spider Woman, you know, talking about Spider Woman earlier in the film, you hear him talking about her, how she killed Peter, you know. And, you know, her not trying to give up, you know, the fact that she is Spider-Woman, you know, defending Spider-Woman. Well, remember, she leaves. This is when she came back. Her and her dad had a talk. And then her dad gives her this gadget that he finds while he was taking care of one of the people that she was fighting. Okay. I think it was a vulture. But anyways, he ends up giving her back this watch, and it's a dimensional travel watch. Okay. And you see Miguel has that on him, and basically it's a device on his wrist which allows him to open wormholes between universe as well as communicate with others with similar devices. So Gwen had that device, and they locked her out of it, which led her back to her dad. And then her dad gave her the device that he found, gave it to her, and tells her, basically, go live your best life. Go do what you need to do. Go fight crime. And she's so happy because he's behind her now. And that's when she leaves out. She leaves out and she decides, I'm going to start a new band. And her new band was all the new spider people that she met. Hobie and, you know, the other spider people, not Jess, but Hobie and
Lego Spider-Man.
Lego Spider-Man. And, you know, Miles, just, she has just her own group, and you see that towards the middle of the film. So I love that scene. What did you think about that scene with her dad and that they made up, and when he gave her that the dimensional watch?
I thought that was so wholesome. Like, it was just so together. Yeah. I just loved how she just got everything she really wanted, and her dad wanted her to go and do that. And I bet it was a big stress relief for her to do that. I bet that was a huge stress relief.
Absolutely.
Like, absolutely. Yes.
Who wants their parents to think that you killed Spider-Man? You know what I mean? And then when you find out that she's Spider-Woman, and you thought this whole time that Spider-Woman killed Spider-Man, I mean, you know, your dad, who you have, you don't have your mom, and he's all you have in the world, and he feels that way about you. So I really love that scene. I was happy that she was able to get his blessing to go out there and fight crime and help Miles. So this is a spoiler-free review, and so I don't want to tell you how this ends. I will tell you that it is a be continued. The ending is just, it had my mouth drop. Like, what the hell is going on here? Who you know, so you guys have to go check this film out. This was a really, really, really good film. I was happy that I watched it. Forgive me for my notes, but I mean, you have to come correct with this. So forgive us. We just wanted to make sure everything is right. And there's just so much to the Spider-Verse. I mean, there's so much. And then, it, you know, it goes into the multiverse, and it can go on and on and on and on and on. So there was a lot of notes to take on this. I also have fun facts, guys. I love fun facts. So some of my fun facts, let's see. I do have to say that they did say that this was one of the longest animations. Whoops. I'm sorry, Kristen. There we go. I'm sorry.
Oh,
this is one of the longest animations that they had. I think there was another one that was longer, but it was one of the longest animations that was that has been out. This film was directed by Joaquin Dos Santos, Kent Powers, mm-hmm. Justin K. Thompson. It was written by Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, and Dave Callahan. It came out in, 2023. This one is a really good one. The first Spider-Man came out in 2018, Into the Spider-Verse. Please go and watch that. The animation was great. I was actually blown away by the animation, especially in the beginning, because in the beginning, it's a total different animation. It kind of looks shell-shaded. And then when the movie starts, then it goes into the regular animation. But the graphics are beautiful. The drawings are beautiful. Everything was done. And Miles is just so cute.
I know.
Isn't he so cute?
Yes. I love Miles Morales.
I really do. I really do love him so much. And I'm like, now when I play the game, I will understand it, because I do have to say, when I was playing the game, I was like, there's so many different Spider-Man costumes in the game. So I didn't get the one that Gwen was wearing. I didn't get that. Oh, now yeah. I was like, oh, okay, that's that one. Oh, okay, that's Miguel. That was Miguel's uniform. Oh, okay, that's Gwen's, because there are so many different ones. Okay, so the fun facts. So Phil Lord and Christopher Miller revealed that they told Sony the sequel would be the same size as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which did come out in 2018, but it ended up having the largest crew of any animated movie ever, with around 1,000 people working on it. Yes.
Wow, that is a lot of people.
It has 240 characters and takes place in 6 universes.
Wow.
Okay, so that's one. Another one was Spencer Wan, one of the animators for the film, used spam emails he received as background textures for Hobie Brown's animation throughout the film.
Wow.
Right. So when you see Hobie and you see all the textures and all that, it was spam emails that he used. So another fun fact, at a runtime of 2 hours and 20 minutes, which is 140 minutes, this is the longest American animated film to date, surpassing the previous record holder, Consuming Spirits, that was released in 2012 by 4 minutes.
Wow.
Okay. And I
have crazy.
one more. When Miles is rushing to meeting with the guidance counselor, he passes by his friend Gank, whatever. G-A-N-K-E, who can be seen hanging out in Miles and Gank's dorm room playing Marvel Spider-Man 2 on his PlayStation 5. The game's version of Spider-Man, played by Yuri Lowenthal, also appears as one of the 240 Spider-Man variants seen throughout the film.
Wow.
So some fun facts.
Those are good fun facts. Those are so interesting. I was like, wow.
Right?
Especially the spam emails one. That one blew my mind. I was like.
I wouldn't have even guessed that it was spam emails, but what a great idea. And like I said, each Spider-Man is absolutely unique. The new ones, the old ones. Yes. If you watch the film and watch through the credits, you have little Easter eggs that are there. In the first one, you have Miguel going back to 66 Spider-Man, the cartoon Spider-Man, and they're having this back and forth. Absolutely funny. Watch through the credits. Watch the full film. Get through the credits. You'll see these extra Easter eggs that's in the film. Guys, this was, again, a good film. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. You can watch it on Netflix right now. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is streaming everywhere. You can watch it on YouTube as well. You can rent or buy it. This was a good film. I asked Kristen to join me because she's younger. She knows about Miles Morales. She would be perfect to review Spider-Man with me. That's why I chose her to do this. All right, because I needed some guidance. That's why I took all these notes to make sure I knew what you all were talking about. But it was a really good film. Also, the soundtrack, amazing music.
Wow,
what did you think about the soundtrack?
That was fantastic. That was so inspirational. Like, the whole film was inspirational anyways, but the soundtracks just made it so much better.
When she says inspirational, remember, in this Spider-Man movie, you know, there is one thing that Gwen says, you know, basically, are you Spider-Man? Anybody can be Spider-Man. We're all Spider-Man, you know? So, but it was a ride. I was shocked by the length, how long the film was, but you lose track. You don't realize how long it is because it is so good. So please check that out. I hope you enjoyed Kristen and I reviewing Spider-Man and bringing that to you at 2:26 my time in the afternoon. Kristen, thanks for joining me. Any shout outs, Kristen, anything you want to, that you weren't able to talk about or bring up that you want to let us know about, please.
I do want to make a shout out to LaDawn Whitmire. She was the woman that started my career, pushed it forward, gave me a head start. That was when everything started, and now I am here. And I am on Rossi McCree's show two times.
And I appreciate you like coming back. Thank you so much. I appreciate being able to reach out to you and say, hey, will you come and sit with me? And it's been just awesome to watch your career just grow and to see the things that you're doing. You are very young, but you are a great role model for young actors that are coming up. Aww. You know, I do have to say that. And it's just exciting watching every time I go on Facebook or whatever. It's like, what this girl is in another magazine. What do you do for fun, though, Kristen? I mean, when you're not acting, what do you do for fun?
What I do for fun is I love to play Roblox. Okay. I've been playing Roblox with my cousin that's what I usually do for fun. In my relaxation time, I get on this computer and I get on Roblox. And we play a little Fashion Famous.
Okay. How's the weather where you're at?
It is actually really pretty out today, but it's so cold.
Is it cold?
Yes.
Girl, I'm in here in Northern Cali in Sac. It's been rainy like for the past like a few weeks ago, but we got sunshine. I mean, it was like 75 yesterday. It was like 76 on Monday. I mean, it's like air conditioning weather what we're going through right now. It's really beautiful out. Yeah, it's probably 70 and sunny out right now.
Oh, I would love to go to California. It is so
pretty. You haven't been yet?
No, I've never been. I want to go so bad.
It's a fun place to visit. Northern Cali, I love Northern Cali because it's not as, there's not that many people up here, like compared to Southern California, where it's just like damn near wall to wall people. And I used to live in Pomona, which is in Southern California, which is just, the freeway is just crazy. It's fun to visit. Absolutely fun. There's so much to do. Northern Cali, it's kind of like, I'm from the Northwest. I'm from Oregon. So you get that Oregon-y feel, you know. It's beautiful up here. It's absolutely gorgeous up here. Yeah. And it's not so busy. It's kind of quiet and just really nice. So I love it. But you will be in LA soon.
I will be there soon, guys.
You will be there soon.
I'm on my way.
You are absolutely on your way, and congrats with the series. Please let us know what's going on. You know that if you have anything you want to talk about, you have any movies that you want to just share, whatever, you let me know, hit me up, and I will schedule you to come on and we'll talk about whatever is going on with you, because there is so much, and I would love to sit with you when you're done filming with LaDawn Whitmire. I'm so sorry, LaDawn, I keep calling you Layden. But LaDawn Whitmire, I keep calling you Layden, but LaDawn Whitmire, absolutely. But other than that, thank you guys for joining Rossi's Rossi Talks. Yes. To those that listen to us, our audio listeners, thank you so much for making Rossi Talks Movie Lovers Unite number one in, you know, indie films and TV shows. Thank you so much. Please continue to leave us a 5-star review. We enjoy doing this with for you guys. If you're liking our content, please go to our YouTube channels, Movie Lovers Unite. Give us a thumbs up, subscribe. Go to Rossi Talks, give us a thumbs up and subscribe. And please go over to my new channel, Rossi's Clubhouse, where I interview Sacramento. It's a Sacramento-based podcast where I interview artists around the area, up and coming artists here in Sacramento, also the Bay Area. All right. So that's what that podcast, I talk about that. And now Rossi's Clubhouse is now streaming. You can listen to it wherever you listen to podcasts, on all your major podcasting platforms. You can listen to Rossi's Clubhouse. We just posted our first audio up, and that is with Lorna Norris and Lauren Rasson. They are screenwriters here in Sacramento. They have an awesome film. You guys can check that out. It's called Adaptable. Great short film. They won in the 2023 A Place Called Sac. Okay, so film festival. So that's all I got, guys. Don't go anywhere. Kristen, stay there. Appreciate you guys, and we will see you next time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.